Hello and welcome, fellow osmologists to Osmology. I'm Sue.
And I'm Ben. And in this episode, we're diving into organizational purpose, what it is, why we need it, and how to find it.
So again, keeping it super light, keeping it really easy, not a
what
lot
we
to
do.
Think about. Yeah, we're just, you know, we're really too shallow. We're surface people and we should do better, frankly.
Yeah. Right. And so, just to be clear, we're talking organizational purpose, like organizations. We're not talking about like Zen cleaning around the house, organizing, right? Or is that something we should talk about?
Not right now, we shouldn't, because I don't have a clean house. But I am really glad you brought it up, because there was a part of me that wondered if we should dwell over why the word organization. And then I thought, well, I don't know if I have a good answer other than organization. I use it as a broad term for any type of business or nonprofit or volunteer, even a volunteer organization.
Yeah.
So I have gotten in the habit of calling everything an organization.
Yeah. But it is very similar for me. Yeah.
But it's weird. It's a weird word.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm overthinking.
Yeah. I don't think it's weird. I actually think it makes a ton of sense. Just, you know, pick any of those entities that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And if everyone's working in their own little world, you know, that's, they're doing one thing. But when they get organized into something, an entity, an organization, then stuff happens, right? So it's like the organization of people and ideas and thoughts and processes and policies and procedures. And so I think it makes a ton of sense.
Right. So what we're saying, in other words, is this could apply whether you are in business, run a business, in the financial industry, running a nonprofit board,
like
all of these things. Anytime you need to get people organized toward a single purpose to get everybody on the same page in an organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you got to do the thing.
Yep. And I think like exactly what you said, it applies to like no matter the type of organization, the qualification, the classification, size, right? I mean, if it's one person that's trying to organize something or two people in a really small effort, we're going to be talking about purpose today. So all that other stuff that I rattled off, like policies, procedures, and everything's like, yep, that's all important to an organization. But, you know, we're talking about purpose today. So again, no matter the size, the structure, whatever, what we're talking about applies.
Okay. All right.
Should we get into it?
Let's get into it. And let's start with the number one question, the big question. What do we mean when we talk about organizational purpose? What do we mean? What do we mean?
Yeah.
What do we mean?
Right.
We mean? Now I've done it all. I've got them all.
You've done it all. You got it. And the cool thing is it's pretty much the same question every time. So I think that some of these kind of questions, the easiest way to describe it is with an example. And so I'm very happily going to give an example that's near and dear to my heart, which is the purpose or the focus of one of my favorite volunteer organization, Rotary International. I'm a very active Rotarian. I think the reason I love the example is because something that I commonly say about Rotary is it's this big beast that does all of these different things. And if you ask, while there might be a high level of general awareness of Rotary and Rotary clubs and things like that, if you ask person A and person B the same question, what is Rotary? What do they do? You're probably going to get two different answers because clubs are so different. Even within those clubs, different members of those clubs have different levels of engagement and do different things, right? So here in Marshfield, Wisconsin, where we live, if you ask a member of the Marshfield community what Rotary is, they probably would tell you they're the people that run the holiday light show that raises thousands of dollars and collects hundreds of thousands of food items for food pantries. And the mission of that Rotary event is to address food in the Marshfield area. So if you ask people from Marshfield what Rotary is, they would probably talk something about that and providing food to people that need it. But Rotary does so much more. And so all of that said, and getting to the point and the definition and the question of what do we mean by organizational purpose, their purpose is actually, and I'm reading now, aiming to improve the world through humanitarian service, peace, and goodwill. So running a holiday light show, collecting canned items, yeah, I can attach that to humanitarian service and goodwill, but that's definitely not the purpose of Rotary International. But things like Rotary Winter Wonderland or things like the local service project cleaning up the side of a highway or building a shelter at a park or an experience that Rotary provides, like an international youth exchange program where students are coming here to learn in our school system. And then the same thing happens back with our students going out and learning across the world. Like, those things contribute to promoting peace. Those things contribute to creating goodwill around the planet. Obviously, a lot of this done through humanitarian service. So organizational purpose, having it declared and understood at a high level by the organization, can really help inform and educate and market and promote the stuff you do. You know what I mean? I really think while it can happen the other way around, you just start doing stuff, you're probably not doing yourselves any favor by first understanding your purpose. Why do you exist? And I guess that's maybe another example that I would give to help organizations get to understanding their organizational purpose, which is asking yourselves or your board or your leadership or your entire company that question, why do you exist? You know, and I think that's a great first question to get to defining your own organizational purpose. So I think because different organizations, the answer to that question can be so different for each organization, it's really tough to put a definition on it. But I think by giving an example and maybe an intro question, organizational purpose is maybe a good place to start. So what do you think of all that?
I think I am going to synopsize what you just said. So in other words, what we are saying here is it is more than what you do. It is why, it is the reason behind why you're doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the reason I wanted to way oversimplify everything you just said and said so well was to get to my next question for you, which is, do you think that people mistake their purpose as to make money? Because I think we both believe that you can do that too. You can do that. Nobody's starting a business to lose money.
Right.
Maybe people are. I don't know.
Yeah.
People, it is some kind of a tax shelter situation that they could be doing. Mm-hmm. But everybody in general, everyone who starts a business is doing it to make money.
Right.
But it is the reason you want to make that. It's either the reason you want to make that money. I think there are some businesses that the money that they make is somewhat secondary to their mission, and it funds the mission, right? Even for-profit businesses, I don't know. I think about who is a highly mission-focused business. Ben and Jerry's.
Sure. Patagonia was going to be my example.
Yeah. Yeah. So they do good things. They do well in their business. But the purpose is higher than the money that they make. Even though they make plenty of it.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's the old, like, doing good by doing good or doing well by doing well, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, the money thing is the thing that I think can get in the way. And I suppose our nature as humans and this thing called greed can, you know, maybe get in the way of understanding one's purpose or defining it or understanding your organization's purpose. But I think even if, you know, you want to be focused on the dollars, like you're still going to have to answer the question at some point, or you're not going to be around enough to give yourself the opportunity to answer the question. So if you want, if it's all about the money for you, it's probably because you're trying to achieve something, which, you know, might be financial freedom so that you can do something else in your life. Or maybe, you know, maybe it's driven by a current or a previous career where you were working yourself to death. And so you need to do this other thing to make income in a different way, which it's all about the money. But the end result is that you can spend time with your kids or, you know, whatever. So then, you know, then we start talking about purpose. We start talking about why we're doing what we're doing. And if that turns into an organization of people and other things, well, then hopefully that organization is guided by the reason that you started the business in the first place. Then all of your employees get the same benefit of spending more time with their kids or, you know, whatever the thing is that you were trying to do. Right. So even if it's about the money, which, you know, credit unions talk about this often, you know, the balance between like the social and business side of what we do. Like we've got to make some money so that we can do what we do, you know? So you can't ignore the money, and it's all about the money, and it doesn't have to be all about the money. It's this like weird little thing that's swirling around all the time. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think one of the reasons maybe people focus on money, is because there's a great tangibility to it.
Right.
And you can associate success with money, and you can measure the level of, you know, you just have to look at comparable businesses and decide, you know, and you have a number that you can assign to being more successful than another business. And that makes it easy.
Yeah.
And even if I think maybe, and I want to acknowledge that I am having an argument with someone who is not arguing with me and doesn't exist, but even if someone said, well, no, that there are some people for whom there is not a higher purpose. They just want the money. You know, they're not trying to spend more time with their family. They're not trying to retire earlier. It's all about ego. Well, then there's your purpose. It is their purpose is feeding their ego.
Yeah.
And that still, like, money is a way into that. Money is a means by which they're feeding their ego, and they have a, you know, again, they have a tangible way that they can feed their ego, but it's still not money. It's ego.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And maybe like,
to each their own, because I mean, we want our ideal, I think, is to have everybody making the world better with what they do and being focused on that purpose being something positive and, you know, all of those things. But if someone's whole purpose is related to feeding their ego and they're not hurting anyone else,
right? That's when the key. Do it,
yeah. Then okay.
do
the thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe to give it a less gross word, like legacy, you know, is maybe a different way to say ego. But I think, you know, again, depending on like who you're hurting along the way, or including things like, you know, of course, people, but the environment, or, you know, communities, things like that, a lot of hurt could come by someone trying to build or leave a legacy. And it probably is hurt when the focus is more on your own ego instead of, you know, an actual, you know, legacy that's grounded in the right thing and all that. But anyway, maybe we're getting just a tad bit philosophical here, but.
Yeah. I mean, and that is one of our strengths. Yeah. I think,
but the point is there is purpose. Like the purpose can't, like, income is not the purpose. Like there's something behind that. Might not be pretty, but there's something behind it.
Right. Right. Well, and I think what's important about sort of hashing that out for folks is I think that when you start to have a conversation about organizational purpose, there are those people that are, you know, you mentioned that whole like social purpose versus business purpose. There are people who are saying, well, I have a business purpose for what I'm doing. I don't need to think about the rest of this and connecting and everything. Like people just need to, I mean, I have a pretty perfect boss right now, but I have definitely worked for people whose attitude was like, you don't need to understand what is happening. You simply need to follow my orders.
Yeah.
And can you, I mean, can you about imagine what it's like to work with me? And right.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably why I didn't last, but, so to make the argument that, connecting, there isn't a version of a successful business that doesn't at least understand and acknowledge what their purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think that there is a way through, especially once you have more than one person trying to do the same, you know, trying to run the same organization, to not be aligned in purpose is, I don't know, I think a key to failure.
Yeah, right. Well, we've maybe teased it a little bit here, but how does it help an organization to be grounded in purpose? What's the outcome on the other side of doing the work, creating an understanding, sharing that understanding, both, you know, maybe internally and externally? What's on the other side? How does it help?
I have lots of thoughts.
Oh.
Lots of thoughts.
Let's do it.
So and all to say, there are a lot of business and interpersonal and relationship arguments for focusing on an understanding purpose. I tried to, as I was making myself some notes for this section, I tried to sort of think across my whole career and how I can easily connect, you know, purpose for marketing. Because that helps us do our job. It helps us communicate. But it's not a marketing issue, it's an organization issue, right? So when I think back to training, understanding your purpose helps you coherently message what you're doing. It's pretty easy, even in training, to say, well, don't ask why you're doing it that way. Just do the thing. But to be able to say, you know, the process is this way because here's the benefit to the person on the other end, the end user, or, you know, to say it is super complicated because it's eliminating these other issues, and eliminating those issues gets our organization closer to our purpose, whatever those reasonings are. That is purely the training. That's the sort of the practical foundational training part. And then as you're developing employees more, and I think this starts to get into coaching, but also understanding your purpose helps you. One of the key components of being effective in training is to understand, be able to identify and help people fill gaps. So you have to know where someone needs to be to get them there. And having that purpose, if understanding that when that person leaves, you know, your safe little cocoon of training, that they have to be connected to your organization's purpose so that they're making good independent decisions, that helps crystallize what you need to teach them and helps you test and check with them. Like I said, that sort of segues into coaching, because as people, you know, once people are out of, especially initial training or going through, you know, continuing training, when you're coaching them, you have to be, you know, first of all, the coach has to be on the same page as the trainer. You both have to be guiding someone toward the same purpose. And you have to be able to, as you're coaching a team, give them a coherent picture of where everyone should be working toward. Mm-hmm. And then you can have conversations about you cannot engage in personalities. You can ask people, you know, if they have a issue with how another coworker is doing something, or they have something they want to bring to the team. You can have a really frank conversation about, I either see or I don't see how that is connected to the purpose of what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. So,
If only for that conversation, right?
Right.
Like, is there anything more valuable?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't, you know, and I think I don't want to dwell too long on this, but I do think that that's a thing that when you are maybe a reporter instead of a reportee, when you are reporting to someone, you're at that level of your organization, it is pretty easy to lose sight of the fact that the people around you, that you should be aligned with the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if they, I'm trying to think of an annoying habit. If they crack their knuckles, right? If you're all sitting in a room together and they crack their knuckles, which you find very annoying, it's a conversation to have with that person. But if it's not keeping the team from moving toward your greater purpose, it's not the biggest conversation we're going to have today.
Right.
Yeah. Deal with the thing. And, you know, a lot of these things always come, I think so much about the, our accountable teams work and the things we've done, like learning to distinguish between real issues and, you know, those personal petty annoyances. And for some people, I don't want to downplay it. For some people, you can have a real issue. You can have a mental illness or a physical, or even a physical illness that is driving you to not be able to listen to people chew. Like, there are things,
right. Yeah.
And it's serious and it's real, and we can't downplay it when we are talking about purpose and coaching. And like, that's the area we're in. It is easier when you understand the purpose of what you're all trying to do to differentiate between real issues, which are things that keep the team from moving forward, and not real issues, which still exist.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole, thanks for coming.
That's to another episode.
That is. Yes. More stuff. I have more idea. I already said interconnectedness. Being able to know that you know, all different personalities have to work together on a team. And we don't have to be friends. It's great. I think our team does a good job with being friends, you know, but you don't have to be with the people on your team. You don't even have to like them. And, but the important thing is to understand that you're all moving toward the same purpose, be able to build the trust that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? So anything else, personal, political, what have you, you set aside and learn to trust that person, that they're all, that everyone's moving ahead. And then finally marketing. I put marketing last, so I didn't feel like I was being,
not too biased, right?
Not to be biased, but also, like I said at the top, you have to know, to create a coherent brand, to create a connection to the people that brand is meant to connect to, you have to know what the purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always come back to that quote from Simon Sinek, which is that, you know, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And that's what the purpose is to, you know, is understanding why you do what you do. How about that?
You nailed it.
Questions, comments, concerns, criticisms?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to just lean into the marketing bias and just say, you know, when it comes to an understanding of purpose and how that might come through in things like your marketing and community engagement efforts and stuff, like the next word I would go to that is just crucial along all of this is authenticity, right? Like mm-hmm. There's nothing that's protecting you or anyone from the BS detector that every person has, you know, to say, I've declared our organizational purpose as this, and then you put it out in some way that is absolutely not true, absolutely not the way you're running your business or things like that. People are not stupid. Everyone has a BS detector and it's running on high. So, you know, maybe some different than others, right? So, you know, that's the, I guess, the only thing that I would add to what you're saying is specifically related to marketing, right? Like, you got to run that thing through the authenticity filter. And if it's not feeling good, mm-hmm. be careful what you do with it, I guess, is all I'm saying. So, I know we're going to talk about, you know, how an organization finds its purpose or defines it, but authenticity is going to be a continual theme there.
Yeah. So. Yeah, totally agree. So, I mean, so like, let's get there. How does an organization identify its purpose?
Yeah.
It does, yeah. Like, you put a whole bunch of purposes in a hat and pick one?
Great. Oh, is that
throw how darts you at a dartboard? Something like that?
I'm not that good at darts, so I don't know if I'd ever.
Okay. Maybe it's like a D&D thing where you like roll for purpose. Or
there we go. Yes, that's it. We just need some dice. Everybody go pick up some dice. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess to say it as short as I can, I'll just say put in the work. That's I guess, coming from me, my unfiltered response to the question. And an organization definitely identifies its purpose by putting in the work to do so, which, you know, at the very top, I mentioned something as simple as just asking yourself some intentional questions like, why do we exist? Why do we exist as an organization? And if you ask your leadership that, if you ask your entire organization that, you're going to get a whole bunch of different answers, but the answers will, you know, at least serve as the first steps to a guide to like getting to that answer, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's some really natural opportunities throughout an organization's life to do some of this work, right? Like every strategic planning session is an opportunity to ask some questions or learn some things about yourself that might help you identify or modify, you know, and that's something that we've talked about too, as we've talked about purpose, whether it's individual or organizational. It's mm-hmm. not a thing that sits and never changes, right? So mm-hmm. I think that's also the beauty of this is maybe takes the pressure off about like getting it perfect or getting it right or feeling like you have to have like this absolutely perfect organization-wide understanding of its purpose. Like it's not going to feel that way when you first start to work on this, right? But it can always improve. It can always change. And as the world changes and hopefully your business is adapting and changing with it, like it's going to change too. So I think that's maybe the other thing I'd throw out there it doesn't stop, you know, mm-hmm. but the question is, how does an organization identify its purpose? So I've mentioned a couple of things, asking some really intentional questions, getting feedback from the humans responsible for it, taking advantage of moments like strategic planning, board retreats, all staff opportunity. Anytime you get people together, like that's an opportunity to maybe not always ask the hard questions, but even maybe just observe like what's bringing people joy. Mm-hmm. And I suppose on the financial side too, like what things are we doing that's making an impact in a positive way related to right. our financial performance, you know, and does that contribute to us, you know, clarifying this is why we're doing what we're doing, because not only is it, you know, I guess back to the cliche, you know, doing well by doing well or doing good by mm-hmm. doing good, like, hey, we're doing this thing and God dang, it's good for the bottom line. And, you know, it's also helping this segment of people or whatever. So I'm totally rambling now, but
no,
I
love it.
Two solid and ideas.
I'm going to take a quick left turn and ask you a question that we should not talk about now.
Okay. But, got it.
Something as you were talking about that the budgetary thing, right? Like looking at what is growing in the budget, and thinking about specifically around the idea of strategic planning. Why is it that when we sit down to do strategic planning, we look at all those numbers and the things that are behind, we spend 80%, this is one of those 80-20 things, 80% of the time saying, well, we're going to increase this and we're going to increase and we're going to do these, then what are we doing to focus on that? And how are we making that, you know, how are we going to improve that? And we're going to set a more aggressive goal to do more, all the things on the things we're behind and the things that we are excelling at. We go, oh, thank God we're excelling at that. Now we're not going to think about it anymore because we have to go and, you know, over here and kick ourselves in the can for 10 hours and figure out why this other thing that we decided, you know, 2 years ago, we should have that semi-arbitrary amount of growth
sure.
on.
Yeah. Right.
And we didn't do that semi-arbitrary. And I know that there are figures behind it. Most of the time, not all of the time, people sit down to strategic planning with numbers in mind. But I've right. definitely been in strategic planning where people have been like, I don't know, 10% increase. Yeah. So that aside, most of the time, people look at what's reasonable. But right. we spend so much of our time not focused on what is doing well and how we can capitalize on that. We let it coast.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because, great.
I'm sorry. I assume it's because we think we figured it out and we don't need to do anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a great question and a real experience that we've had and others have had for sure. I suppose we should maybe just knowing that we're a CUSO and that a lot of our clients are credit unions, we should at least acknowledge that sometimes it is to stay within a certain policy or to bring balance to the kind of business that you're doing to create sustainable health for the business. So you're super high on deposits. That's great. You could lean more into that for sure. But also like, you know, that you've got a lot of money that you need to loan out. So you have to focus on lending and leave that other good thing behind a bit, you know, or maybe same thing the other way, right? Like lending is really, really good, but holy cow, you're going to need some deposits to make that happen. That's maybe the most easy like credit union example I could give.
Right.
But so that there could be like business structural or policy factors to consider here where you have all the reason in the world to let the good thing coast so that you can focus on something else. But I think what you're more asking about is the more like arbitrary or opinionated decision to focus on the numbers that are behind goal or whatever, instead of like with your open eyes, like seeing the thing that's going really well and it wouldn't hurt the business anymore to just lean into that. I suppose as I'm saying that, like another reason for not focusing on the good and all of that is just like diversification, right? Like you want to make sure that those things that are underperforming are lifted up so that if something were to change in the world, this thing that's going good for you winds up going away. Well, you've got something to fall back on. That might be another reason, right? But specifically when you can tie that thing that's going really, really well. And I think we're answering the question here about how it helps an organization to be grounded in its purpose. If that thing that's going really, really well is very clearly, without question, aligned and contributing to the achievement of your purpose, then like, yeah, why are you spending your time focusing on the other stuff? Go all in on that if that's what's creating the biggest impact, you know?
Right.
So.
Right. Well, and maybe what I'm thinking as we're talking this through, I'm glad we solved this for me, is, why do we look at the things that are working? And, you know, let's stick in credit union world because it may be, you know, speaking of like that lending versus deposit example, it maybe is the easiest way for me to explain what I think we could try, which is when you have the situation where you have lending people that are really like the top salespeople, right, in your organization. These are the people that are really, they're really moving numbers.
Yeah.
And lending does really well because they're really good salespeople. But deposits, you struggle to always get deposits. Why are we not applying the same things, like some of the same logic and training and people power? And why aren't we saying, well, we can do that, you know, and examine the root causes of why we can do it and then apply that to other areas.
Right. Yeah.
Because I think what we end up doing is saying, okay, well, that's good. Let's not talk about it. Let's talk about this other thing that isn't good. How are we going to fix it? And not often enough do we say, well, why is that good? What is happening there? And how can we apply that over here? We say, oh, well, you know, because in this department, you know, in that department, we had 5 maternity leaves and this thing happened and that other thing happened and the processes weren't good. But we're going to, I don't know. Now there's not going to be any more babies next year in that department. All of that's going to change. And we're going to tell people, you know, that whatever, that they're going to change the procedures. Well, and like in this case, what they need is salespeople.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know, that just an example.
Mm-hmm.
Not, and for the record, anybody listening to any one of the credit unions that we work with, I'm not talking about your credit union.
Yeah.
This is an example credit
union. Hypothetical people.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know, an interesting conversation about not being over self-congratulatory, not spending time like, well, why don't we celebrate that? We do. You mm-hmm. see the reports, people talk about it, but why don't we apply what we're learning across the spectrum and do these things? And, you know, in some cases, is it because that area is, we've already figured it out. And if we put that same effort in somewhere else, we have to take it away from a place that's already succeeding.
Right. Yeah. And okay. This may, yeah, no, yeah.
It took us a place.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I think the good news in several cases can be you can take something away from the thing that's working really well without harming that performance or being a detriment to that thing still happening the way it is, you know. So it might take a little creativity or some extended support or something, but
dovetailing us back into the conversation we're supposed to be having, if where you end up is looking at those two things as you're planning, and one of them is doing really well, highly aligned with your purpose, meeting that purpose, and the other one is doing poorly, less well aligned with what your overall purpose is, but a, you know, maybe a metric that, because you can measure it against your peers, that you're using the metric for your own success, you know, you should think really critically about it.
Yeah.
Because if you're not accomplishing what your organization needs to accomplish, and you're just beating yourself up because you can't do the thing.
Right.
You know, at least think about it critically.
Yeah. At the very least. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so they do how organizations identify the purpose. They do the work, they put in the work.
Yep. They revisit it.
Yeah.
And if those natural opportunities don't come often enough, like strategic planning or whatever, well then make an opportunity, you know, create your own thing.
And what happens if you're not aligned? What happens if you have a I don't know, a misalignment at.
Sure.
I think there are different levels you can be misaligned at. So yeah. Just for funsies, let's start like at the executive level.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think to be as doom and gloom as I can probably be about it, like, I mean, I don't know what you can do about it. Like the simple fact is you might not be around for long, you know, because either someone that has it figured out is going to gobble you up, or certain people of that team that feel the misalignment or are, you know, in the worst space because of it from a, I don't know, job satisfaction standpoint or whatever, like they're going to leave and that's going to hurt, you know? So like, I mean, there's a lot of things that, bad things that could happen without. So that's the, maybe the bad stuff, like what do you do or what could happen? But I hate to just lean back to the original answer again, but put in more work.
Yeah.
You know? Because I think this is just another one of those scenarios where at the end of the day, if you don't have agreement with everybody or the majority of people on it, the simple truth of us having more in common with each other than having differences with each other is like, it's very true. It's likely very true, right? So get to the thing that you all have most in common that you can be aligned on. And, you know, because yeah, it's not going to be perfect. You know, you're not going to do one strategic planning session, all of a sudden you're in some kumbaya state where your 10 key leaders are working towards the same thing. There's going to be a few that are going to be like, why are we doing this? You know, or I care more about this thing than that, you know? And so it can't stop there, I guess, just more weight into the previous thing that we've said about it being iterative and ongoing and needing attention all the time. So it just might be, if the alignment is so out of whack, like it might be a little harder up front, or it might take longer or whatever, but keep working.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think
is that too simple? I mean, honestly,
I mean, it sounds simple because it is, it's saying it in a couple of sentences, but what it doesn't really paint the picture of when you say keep working, how long that work could take and how, you know, it could be, it could actually be really intense. It could bring up some things for people that get back into that engaging in personalities and some of that stuff. It could, you know, or it could just be exhausting.
Yeah.
I think everybody has worked with someone who is so entrenched and that trying to come to an agreement on something like this with them, it takes an emotional toll.
Yeah.
So yes, it's saying keep putting in the work is a simplification, but also we can't necessarily speak to what are the things you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
And that is where between keep having conversations and looking at, you know, different ways people can come together. Based on their various different personalities, up to and including saying, hey man, you are never going to, like, you've made it clear you're never going to align with what this organization is. So we're going to have to let you go somewhere that you align with.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and you know that there is that also harsh reality where we as people, I think we are, and for the better, we are moving into or have moved into a reality where it's time for people to stop working places just for a paycheck and people to understand that you work for places that align with your values. And I think that's difficult because, first of all, everybody needs a job and you need food and you need to do the thing, right? And you're not always going to have perfect alignment with everywhere you work. But I think that the more we as people that are in the system, we as people being part of the system, the more we're willing to say, yeah, I can't let this place suck my soul every day of my life, and I'm going to go somewhere else, the more we drive that change, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a little bit idealistic. And yeah, that is coming from someone who who's really lucky to have sort of stumbled backwards into a position where I feel like our purpose is really well aligned.
Right.
My understanding of our expectations of ourselves and the team is really good. I feel really free to express myself to you.
Yeah.
Maybe too free for your personal liking.
Yeah. I am feeling like we've given some examples, like, you know, if that alignment's not there, if you don't agree on your purpose or can't get to it, the bad things are going to happen, like people being fired or losing their jobs or leaving to go elsewhere or being merged in or, you know, whatever. So, yes, I suppose all that's real. That's why we came to those as initial examples. I feel like some other tactical things that we owe our listeners, maybe to provide inspiration or to consider, is, you know, if this is something that you're trying to do as a small leadership team, have somebody facilitate. So, you know, that's something that you could do to, you know, that's another example of more work that you could do. Try it in a different way. Have someone facilitate. If it's strategic planning or something, try a different facilitator the next time that you have strategic planning happening. Hear from different groups of people. Maybe make sure that you're hearing from the entire staff, or make sure that you're hearing from your members, your customers, your clients. So maybe provide new inspiration or confirmation of what you're starting to define as a purpose. So like, there's more you can hear, there's more you can learn, there's different voices you can hear from, there's other people to bring into the room. And yeah, all that takes time.
Yes.
All of it takes resources, and it's worth it at the end.
Yeah. Yes. And, even though it sounds dire and scary to think that you would have to invite someone to move on, or someone would choose to move on, that can be transformative. It can be incredibly positive. Mm-hmm. It can be, it can, and I don't think I'm downplaying the seriousness of that kind of stuff, but it,
right.
I do genuinely believe that there is a gift to be given to someone. If you have to say, you know, I don't want you to fight anymore. You don't need to, you know, we're not going to align, and I don't want you to fight to do it. I don't want you to feel like you're the outsider anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And let them make that decision, you know, sort of for themselves.
Right.
And yeah, no, I think there's a ton of positive, which is kind of a jerky thing for somebody to manage with to say, but it's true.
Yeah. Oh, all right. What's next?
So what's next? Well, we got a book to write is the thing I've heard, but, well, what's next? Now that we have had this conversation, you know, this was a spot that we haven't really touched on yet in the stuff we've done. So I think this is a good opportunity to strike while the iron's hot.
Exactly.
We're thinking about it.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, we're having this conversation today because this is a section of the book that we haven't spent a ton of time on. So we've had a lot of good conversation today. I think summarizing, maybe finding some research or resources to back up some of the ideas we've put out there today, examples and other good stuff that's going to make the final cut of the book. We've got some work to do all that.
I would be really interested to find out, and this is one of those incredibly half-formed ideas. I would be interested to find out other people's perspective on having a purpose, if they understand the purpose of the organization, if they think, you know, especially people who work for an organization that they are misaligned with. And maybe either through just being new, being young and inexperienced, being that purpose of the organization not being well communicated. Like, I would be really interested to hear if people like can confirm that they understand anything about this or have ever thought it was needed, because I feel really strongly it is.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's something that people talk about a lot.
Right. Well, I imagine we can get some confirmation from those kind of folks, and we can probably get some confirmation from some of the awesome guests that we have coming up that I think have a good understanding, work for organizations that are thinking and doing and working this way.
Right.
So we've got some folks to tap into, I think. So that's that's absolutely a tease for upcoming episodes. So,
so fun teasing things that we just thought of.
Right. We'll make it happen.
Speaking of upcoming episodes, we are so excited that folks continue with us on this journey. I think we've learned a lot about what we do, about each other, about our endless capacity to talk about basically anything at length. So you can always learn more about us, what we do, what we think, and catch up on all of these episodes at our website, exclamationcuso.com, or check us out on your favorite podcast app.
We'll see you there. Thanks, friends, for tuning in. Be awesome, and we'll see you next time.
The Awesomeology Podcast is a production of Exclamation Services. Thanks to Nick Mulliver for sound production and Kylie Ganther for our cover artwork.
Executive producers are me, Ben Bauer, and my friend, Suzanne Campbell.